Oh, well, she's tiny.
She's also across the room.
We are live now.
She's not tiny, though. In this show, she's large. She's the size of a
normal
woman.
Big Cortana.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Breakout, episode number 42 for Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. My name is Marty Sleeve, and as always, I'm joined by Nick Calandra and Casey Wosu. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
I've already been working for an hour.
We apologize for being slightly late. Nick had a fun interview that will someday turn into a snapshot documentary. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, we're back. We're sort of in a holding pattern until the madness of Summer Game Fest starts in 2 weeks or so. So there's not a ton to talk about, but there have been some new games. Casey actually reviewed one of the new games that we can talk about a little bit later. The embargo for it is up. His review will be up, I'm assuming, today. Tomorrow. Reviewed Sniper Elite 5, correct?
Yes, I did.
What did you just grumble, Nick?
Tomorrow it'll be up. We have too many videos to publish today, so I don't want to miss out on getting...
Wow! You tell Casey you did not stay up so late?
Mm-hmm. I didn't tell him to do nothing. He said he was going to do it.
I mean, you guys gave me an embargo, and I just hit it. That's all.
There you go.
we'll be able to give people a little morsel, little aperitif of your 3MR in the game later. Our big topic of the week we could talk about is the Halo show. It's finally finished. Season one is done. Season two is, I think, not in production yet, but will be in production soon. Nick obviously followed along week to week. I ended up watching it all in like a 24-hour span the other day. I don't know why. I think because Nick said this is the topic, and I was like, I'll get caught up. And Casey has watched none of it. So we're going to come from three different perspectives on what we thought of the show. So obviously, Nick, you're the resident Halo aficionado. What were your thoughts on the season? Now listen.
Yeah, well, to wrap up kind of my episodic takes on it, I thought the finale was a bit of a blunder. It did not end up in the Fall of Reach like I was expecting it to. They'd go off and do their own little mission. I don't know. Like, I think the show... I've kind of reiterated a bunch of times where I think the show has some hooks, and then I think the biggest problem with the show is pacing and then going off on tangential storylines that just the audience doesn't care about. And we kind of talked about on stream yesterday where, like, I'm getting a little tired of, I mean, and I know everybody is, like, Hollywood execs or whoever's making these shows and movies and all that kind of assuming they know better than, like, this source material. You know, like, and like, we're trying to make their own spin on it. And it's like, when you have, if you want to adapt something, like, you have the books, you have the games and all that, you have like the guidelines to make something that people already enjoy. So why are we trying to constantly do something completely different that you don't know if people are going to enjoy or not? Like, I can't imagine that, like, 343 or the people that even make Halo went and looked at the show and just said, like, yeah, we know for a fact that people are going to enjoy this, when it's like, you already have, like, the market research done with a game in the books. Like, it's all there for you to use.
Isn't it usually they're taking market research from TV and not the thing they're adapting? They're saying, like, as a TV show, this has worked. Therefore, let's make this book series or video game series more like this other thing that already exists.
I don't know.
And that's, like, what tends to be the problem.
It could be, but I mean, like, we've had enough adaptions over the years, like, that we know that doesn't work. Like, you have a target audience to hit. If you're making a Halo show, who do you think the very key people, and you're, like, giving people on Xbox Game Pass free trial to Paramount Plus, who do you think is going to come watch that show? Like, they're obviously targeting it, they're marketing it at gamers and the people that play Halo. So, like, I wasn't totally against them trying to do something new with it. I didn't mind that they were going to do a silver timeline and all that, but I didn't think it was going to deviate so much. Like, I thought, like, Silver Team was just a stand-in for Blue Team, and, like, technically they are, but they didn't really focus at all on Silver Team and, like, their relationship to John. Like, they do for a little bit, but, I mean, the only character you really get to see a bunch of is Kai. Like, the other two, I can't even remember their names, and they don't do anything, really, until they beat the shit out of Chief later on in the season. Halsey, I think...
Okay.
Yeah, I think
Halsey... You told me Master Chief gets his ass beat?
Oh, yeah,
he gets his ass beat. He gets his ass beat much more than he beats ass.
Yeah. But
well, there's one episode where
I think Halsey is like really the hook of the show for me, where like she, I think they handled her character well, because like she is also like pretty dark in the books and everything, and is like really just, I have this one singular goal and I will do anything to achieve it. They got her character right. I didn't mind how they handled John and Chief, and they're trying to make him a real character and give him humanity, because like that's some of this, they definitely pulled some stuff from the books for him, and him as a character in the games, he's not really a character until, you know, Halo 4. I mean, like,
yeah,
and the only really thing that
focus on what he wants and thinks, right, etc.
Yeah, and the whole thing that defines him as a character in 1 through 3 is just his relationship to Cortana, really. So, you know, I think the show has like the groundwork laid for exploring really that relationship between him and Cortana, which is a hook for me. They seem to be going in the direction of exploring more of his relationship with him and Silver Team, especially like without spoiling the ending of the show. Like there's something that happens to him where it's like, where are you going to go from here? I'm not really sure. Like, are they just going to make him the Master Chief now? Because they do make that distinction in the show. There's like a specific line that says like, yep, there's John and then there's the Master Chief, and they're two separate characters. So that was interesting to me.
What do you mean?
Captain Keyes literally says that there's John, and then when you're on the battlefield, there's only Master Chief.
Oh, that was like a poetic thing. That was like a
I don't know. Based on how the season ends, I kind of have a feeling they might be going in that direction where John.
I think they're doing a little severance in the Master Chief unit.
I just took it as surprised. Like you have humanity when you're outside of battle, but when you're in battle, you are the Master Chief. Like you are a weapon. You're the demon. That's what the Covenant call you. So I don't think of it literally as like a two split personalities. I think it was mostly like a metaphorical thing. I could be wrong though. Yeah, and it does. Yeah, without spoiling it, I guess it does leave it at a point where you know, I am kind of curious where they're going to go with season two, because it sort of left a couple threads that I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like Halsey's the big hook for me, really, and like exploring, you know, the backstory of the Spartan program, which they hint at a lot in this show. I didn't think they did a great job of like really digging into it like they could have, because even like Soren, who's Master Chief's best friend in the books, who he gets killed and is basically a really big impactful moment for Chief, Soren's a completely different character in the show. So like I don't really know where or what they're doing with him, because that whole magical storyline just doesn't, I didn't even know who the bad guys at the end were when they died. Like, I had no idea.
Stuff with Soren and Quan, it was just weird that it was a completely, like, the two stories never wove back together. Mm-hmm. Like, they start out in the same place and then veer off, and I expected by the end of the season for the two stories to come back together, and they just didn't. It felt like, I don't know, the show to me, which this probably isn't the case, but it just felt very reactionary to the success of The Mandalorian. Like, it felt like they were pulling things that work in The Mandalorian and then wanting to fix some things they thought didn't. Like the fact that in Mando, one of my chief complaints is he never takes his helmet off. I mean, he does, but ostensibly never. Whereas in this, Chief has his helmet off in moments where I'm like, this is a dangerous scenario. You should put your helmet on. Yeah. Like, you are getting facial cuts and lesions, and you just wouldn't happen if you had a helmet on right now. And then they also had felt like Quan, they wanted it as like the surrogate, like lone wolf and cub kind of character. But it's just the fact that, yeah, that stuff, like I imagine watching these week to week would have been super frustrating, because those like Quan centric episodes are just really boring.
Yeah, I mean,
very boring and very generic and very like, I've seen this before 1,000 times.
Yeah. One of the episodes literally has her tied up to a bike for half the episode, and that's all it is.
Mm hmm.
So hey, like,
she gets herself untied. Gets
free. Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, so has no Halo, says, wait, Soren was his best friend in the books. What about all of Blue Team? Blue Team is like his family of Spartans. Like, they grew up together, and Soren was part of that. And Soren in the books, like, Chief basically has to choose between the mission and Soren and let Soren die at one point. I don't remember all the specific details, but you could probably look it up on Halo lore. But like Soren is the like big, like one of the things they really explore in the newer Halo books, where like Chief decide like is fighting between like the mission and not leaving people behind, like especially his blue team after that. So Soren and like the, and the show explores that in like one scene where like he's trying to let Soren go and escape the Spartan program, and that's it. And then he drops Quan off it with Soren, and then Master Chief and Soren never interact again. So I don't know why.
And they hadn't seen each other in 20 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Like,
so
yeah, like because it's a completely different actor who's playing him beforehand. So like in that flashback, like they part ways when they're teenagers or children.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think the show for me, those frustrating things worked better in a binge format, which is I think the worse the show, the better it works in a binge format. I think that's why stuff like Stranger Things, I don't want to say gets a pass, but Stranger Things has a lot of bloat and a lot of like bullshit. And if you had to wait week to week in between episodes, I think it's a similar thing with The Witcher. If you had to wait week to week, you'd start picking apart all the flaws and you'd start being like, well, why didn't they just condense this? Like, what is the week to week storytelling here? And I think we do get a lot of that. That sort of criticism is fairly levied at Marvel shows because they're week to week and even some of the modern Star Wars properties. But by releasing it all at once, which again, Halo was not, but the way I consumed it all at once, I'm able to forgive a lot of those. Like those Quan episodes to me were just like kind of boring, but then I just went on to the next episode and I'm like, oh, okay, here's Master Chief again. I actually kind of care about this plot with Master Chief and Cortana and Halsey and him getting down with a half alien. She's not really a half alien. She's like she's like an adopted alien. Yeah. Also, I have a theory. They didn't have sex. I think they just cuddled. I thought they showed everything. The way the internet was talking about this, it was like sex scene since like the Lars von Trier movie Antichrist. No. I clicked into this. I was expecting just like some real bone down. And there wasn't any bone down. There
wasn't I think a lot of the like, well, that, and that's kind of what I mean. Like when they're targeting the Halo show at Halo fans, Xbox players, all that. And it was, whether you believe it or not, it was like these all every little inch of the show that they had an issue with was going to be amplified because that's the audience you targeted at, and that audience had predetermined expectations for what this was supposed to be. And I legit think they could have avoided all the problems if they had just followed the book timeline, because there's so much more detail. Master Chief is a full fleshed out character in the books. Like you take the show from the start of the Spartan program up to the fall of Reach in the first season, and then their escape to the Halo ring, and there's your first season, and there's plenty to explore in there. They could have built out his whole relationship with Blue Team and Silver Team, and that would have been like a huge central story arc and giving like making you care about Chief as a character because he cares about other people, you know. It's like and then showing the dark side of Halsey and the UNSC and all that, if that's what they wanted to do with because the only way they were really going to explore like the insurrectionists or the rebellion or whatever they're calling it nowadays, like you would have had to go way far back because like the Spartans were originally killing those people. And that's why the show like tries to explore that a little bit, because like Quan's like, why would you save me? And like, you know, they hate the Spartans and everything. And the show never tells you why. And it's because like the Spartan was murdering the shit out of those people, trying to quell the rebellion or insurrectionism whatever they're doing.
So is it like there are parts of the book that exist in this world, but
yeah,
like they, other things get changed, or is everything changed?
No, they pull elements from the books, the games, and then they try to tell their own story. And it's like, I think those three things are clashing and they just don't work as well as they'd hoped. So
it sounds like a remix yeah, I guess if you're a fan, like if you know this story inside and out, like most like hardcore Halo fans do, the prospect of a TV show is really just seeing, you know, that stuff in live action, like seeing the effects and the story play out. And like, yeah, it's super disappointing that they decided to go an entirely different route. Originally, I was kind of excited about that because in my head, I'm like, well, I've played the games. I know that story.
Yep.
Tell me a different story with, you know, characters and this world. But if they can't even be bothered to to make an interesting story from what they've taken out of that world. And like, why would I even want to waste the time? Like, to be honest, like I've been holding off on watching this because every single time I've heard about it, it's been kind of disappointing in terms of conversation. So I'm really concerned that like I won't like it at all. And like, why bother spending the time?
Especially when there's so much good stuff. Like, there's so many good shows to watch right now that the idea of spending, you know, 8-9 hours on something that's kind of like, ugh, at the end of it, you're like, Jesus, am I really going to spend that much of the little time I have on this planet on something that's just, ugh?
That's the weird thing for me. Like, I have a lot of criticisms of the show. I didn't hate it. Like, I was looking forward to it week to week.
But is that because you like Halo?
No, I legit kind of like, I really did like what they were doing with Master Chief. Like, I like that they made him a character. It was weird at first. Like, it definitely took some like separating what I know of Halo to get there, but I didn't mind his arc, and I didn't mind him like really questioning like what Halsey and everybody did to him. I don't know if that stuff should have happened in the first season right away, because like that's stuff that could have been built up to, like this whole mystery of uncovering like as they go, like what happened to them as kids and everything. Like, they kind of, I think the pacing is just completely off of the show is probably my biggest thing with it, because like it's, he goes like the opening scene of the show is him being, you know, Master Chief and kicking the shit out of the Covenant, and then very quickly you're getting into like, you know, he touches the artifact and all of a sudden he's having visions and everything, and that was the part that I was like, I don't know about this. Like, let's leave like the Forerunners and the Halo as the mystery. Like, let's get there first, then turn the show into mystery or whatever, you know, and really uncovering the Halo ring. Because now we kind of know, like, before we even get, like, we're going to the Halo ring in season two, I assume, because they know where it is now, I think. No, they don't know it is, because the map never got finished. So I don't know how they're going to wrap all that up. But it's just like, I don't really know where they take that UNSC and Master Chief and like his whole thing with Halsey when they get to the ring. And that's where things are going to deviate, I think, a lot more. And that has me really concerned, because like, you know, the first game is, if you're adapting the first game, like, what do you do with that? Right. And like, and so I think a lot of the season two is really going to be exploring the Halo ring and uncovering like the Forerunner secrets, and the Covenant are kind of just like this force in the way of that, you know.
I don't think it's going to be both parties trying to uncover the secret, right? So it's almost going to be that, like, yeah. Indiana Jones, like, where the archaeologists and the Nazis are all chasing.
Exactly. That's like what the first game is about, right? It's like this race to discover what Halo is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do like how, like, when they have visions on Halo, like literally on the ring, I do like how it's they make the place seem very like uneasy and ethereal and like, mm-hmm. sort of like an uncomfortable utopia. That is something that I don't feel like the games ever, like, aside from the fact that you can like see a ring in the sky, like the games, especially like that first game, never gave me a feeling of unease on this place, whereas some of those flashes to it did. And this thing is extremely unnatural. Like, it, mm-hmm. this world should feel very strange and foreign and kind of scary.
They did that in Halo 4. At least for like the opening, when you get and land on that planet, on the Forerunner planet, that felt really weird. Especially like, I specifically remember like the one scene when, like, when you walk out over the horizon and you just see like these huge floating pillars over, and like, mm-hmm. that was a really cool establishing shot. But
so, yeah,
I don't. Yeah, I think there's directions they can go. I just don't know. This season, they like didn't really set up enough for me to be like invested in like, yeah, what happens next? It's like, oh. At the end of it, that's just kind of how it felt.
Yeah, it was also my problem with it is less they changed the source material and more of what they turned it into just wasn't very good. Like, yeah. I'm fine with you changing source material or going in your own direction, but like, I don't know, the writing's just not very good. Like, the characters don't use subtext. The characters just say the things they need to say to move the plot forward, which is like, that's not how you make something interesting and compelling. And comparing that to folks in the chat were talking about, has there ever been a good adaptation? And Arcane to me is a show that, again, we've talked about it a lot, but I don't give a shit about League of Legends. I don't know anything about League of Legends, but like, well, those writers took characters and from the ground up made them incredibly interesting characters. And like, I gave a shit about so many people on that show. And you know, when you get to a point and there's sort of like spoilers, I guess, like a time jump. You're like, so you it made you invested in all these characters so that when you jump forward a little bit, you're like, oh my God, like I'm fascinated to see how everyone's changed.
Right.
And I, at no point was I fascinated by any of the characters on the show.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
But it also gives me a sense of, I don't think unease is the right word, but like, is the writing in like Halo proper, like the games, not good? Like, is that the case? Like, is it the gameplay that props it up? Because I like those stories. Like, I like them a lot. And that really hit me in the face with the Assassin's Creed movie, that the writing in Assassin's Creed is not great. The story in Assassin's Creed is not actually great. It's the gameplay and the world that I like. Because when they translated it completely and faithfully to that movie, it did not work.
Well, the movie should have been Ezio, not Altair, because they didn't do a lot with Altair. So if they'd actually like explored Ezio in the movie, that would have been fine. But I don't know.
I guess it would have been bad. I don't think it was Ezio or Altair fault.
Yeah.
It was just bad.
Well, yeah, it was a bad. Oh, no, it was a bad movie. I just think they would have had more work with Ezio if they had actually focused on him. He's a lot more important character.
I don't know, because like, they did the dual storyline thing where like you have the person in real life, and then you have the person in the Animus, which in the game worked. Like, that's a cool sci-fi concept that allows you to do whatever you want to do. But in the movie, it was muddy and mostly boring.
Deebs is saying the movie didn't even explore Altair. Who did they explore? It was all new stuff?
A made-up character.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Again.
But again, it wasn't bad because it was a made-up character. It was
the same concept.
Which
should have worked in my mind, but it didn't.
Right, but it's the same thing with Halo, where like the game, like Ezio was a fully fleshed out character. Like they have groundwork to use and build these characters into these things. And the same thing with Halo, with the books. There's a lot of groundwork already laid there for them just to adapt that, and they just don't do it. They just keep trying to do new things, and it's like, unless you're going to get the people that like actually made the characters. And,
I mean, new things should be encouraged, if I'm being honest. Like,
they should cinematic. Why do we, like, I have, like, hearing reports that the Last of Us TV show is going to add a bunch of stuff. Like, that might add a bunch of flashbacks, that like you might get a bunch of time with Ellie and her mom. And that's interesting to me because I don't need a one-to-one TV show of a game that is highly cinematic. Like, if I want that original Last of Us story, I have a game that holds up incredibly well and that we're going to be getting a remake of for some godforsaken reason in 6 months. But the thing is, I do think, like, Nick, I think you're overestimating how much these shows are created for the fans, because I think they're created for a much bigger audience. Like, I think the Last of Us TV show isn't aiming for the Last of Us fans. It's aiming to win Emmys.
Right.
Like, well, it's aiming for HBO prestige, the people who watch, you know, Barry and
but I don't
the
think,
people who
I don't
watch
think,
The Sopranos and The Wire.
I don't think they understand that then, because then their whole marketing is targeting the people that already enjoy these things.
I think they can't
decide groups. If they want to please the fans or just make something new. League of Legends works because I think they just said, let's just take what we have here and make something completely new, make it good. Let's not try to please the fans. And there's still like fan pleasing things in it. The Halo show could have been the same thing. Like, when you do get the action sequences and he's being Master Chief and just kicking the shit out of everything, then you have your fan pleasing moments. But I mean, like, you know, I don't think when they make these things, they're targeting mainstream audience and fans. It's like they're trying to mix the two, and it almost doesn't work that way. It's like, if you're going to make a Halo show, then like, just drop Master Chief, make a Halo show, but don't include Master Chief and go in some completely new direction. And it's almost like the same thing we've been talking about with Star Wars, where like they keep trying to recreate old characters, and Solo didn't work for that reason, because like, you'd have an established character in Han Solo with Harrison Ford, you add a new actor in it, and it just didn't work.
Obi-Wan coming Friday to Disney Plus.
Hey, they're using the same actor though. I mean,
different actor. That's not Alec Guinness. They recast the character. That's the thing I find funny, is that Kathleen Kennedy is like, we learned our lesson from Solo.
Yeah,
never
Darren
character
in the frame is on it. I don't know if like Alec McGuinness was really a beloved character though as Obi-Wan.
Not yet.
You are
sure,
insane. Like, what are you talking about?
Obi-Wan that everyone thinks of is
Ewan.
Ewan McGregor. Ewan. Yeah.
You guys are fucking nuts.
I
think you guys are as crazy as Master Chief cuddling that evil girl. That's what I think.
Like, I'm of the mindset, like, that is the Obi-Wan that everyone actually knows. I mean, the old man Obi-Wan is not as recognizable.
Is that Obi-Wan everyone uses to trick their grandma into thinking it's Jesus Christ? sorry, going back really quick to Halo, you were talking about how there was some fan service in the action scenes, and I wanted to go back to Super Chat from Jorge Rikers. Thank you so much for a $5 chat. Said, Nick, did the first-person shooter parts really add anything for
no,
you?
No, I fucking hate
I personally
those.
Found them pretentious, and they didn't really add that much akin to the Doom movie.
They're stupid.
So, to Casey, to fill you in, during certain action scenes, where it turns into CG gobbledygook, the camera will zoom in to Chief, and you will see, like, a HUD and the gun, and so for, like, short snippets, it will look like a Halo game, which is something that the shitty Doom movie with The Rock also made.
Yeah, that which really goes to show you the mindset of the people behind this. Like, this very much, from the way you guys describe it, sounds like people who have no interest in Halo, who don't care about Halo, who only know it as a popular video game IP. And was like, what do gamers like? Shit that looks like video games, right? So let's throw this in there to appease them, and then we can continue making our TV show for, you know, 50, 60 year olds who don't give a shit about sci-fi.
I think there should have been. Oh no, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just the problem is that they don't care about Halo, right? Like, they don't give a shit about the source material. Like, League of Legends or Arcane felt like there was love there. Mm-hmm. Like, from the art to the storytelling, like, to the depiction of the characters, like, whoever was behind that probably played those games, or at the very least listened to people who played those games.
Yep.
And listened to why they liked those games. And it had nothing to do with, like, mechanics and, like, they didn't have a section in Arcane where, like, it was a super raised up top down view, right? Like, no, like, they just told you the story about those characters in that world.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what I was referring to when I was like, they don't know the audience they're targeting, because, like, the Halo games are already popular. The books are already popular. And if you're exposing a new audience to that, then most likely it's probably going to be popular with that new audience too, if you actually just take what people already like. It's like, you know, why... That's what I started saying was, like, you already have the market research done for a show like Halo. You know that millions of people like the story in the games, millions of people have read the books, and you know they like those stories. So why are we trying to create something completely new? Like, it just does, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I would argue that trying to make a thing and appeal to either fans or casuals is still the wrong idea. Like, what they should have been doing is learning about Halo, like, finding an appreciation of the actual source material so that they could make something that they thought was true to it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's
like, because who cares what, like, the hardcorest of hardcore fanboys, like, they'll probably never be happy, if we're going to be honest. Yeah. Like, they could have made a thing when I was 1-1 and be like, oh no, the suit didn't jerk him off in this scene, so I'm not okay. But yeah. If they would have just cared about the source material, I think we would have got something different. Like, this just feels, from what you guys are saying, like they wanted to make money off it and they didn't actually care about the story or the characters that were in it.
Yeah, I think you can, even if something isn't great, I think you can get a sense for, oh, these people clearly give a shit about the source material. Someone mentioned Detective Pikachu. I would say the same thing with the Sonic the Hedgehog movies, and I would say the same thing with that Chippendales Rescue Rangers movie that came out. None of those are fantastic movies. I'm not saying none of those are going to be remembered until the end of time, but it is so clear from the outset that the people who made those give a shit about those respective source materials.
Yeah, like, they grew up with them, like, they cared, they liked Pikachu.
And I didn't get a sense of any of that from the Halo show.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing in particular that you know what it is, that you know pissed off fans, is, like, the battle rifle in the show doesn't even have, like, the actual battle rifle sound that's so iconic to the games. It just sounds like a generic,
yeah, like, little gun. Stuff like that. Is, like,
yeah, there's points, little details like points. That. Yep. And as, like, as somebody that loves Halo, when I noticed that, I was like, I mean, like, come on. Like,
yeah, like, any person who's played lots of Halo would hear that immediately, be like, oh, that's not right. And then they'd fix it because that's what sounds right to them, not because, oh, the fanboys are going to get mad if we don't fix this. Like, to them who care about it, they'd be like, oh, this needs to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is one cool scene they do with a Needler where a dude's like riding in, like, a open air Humvee or something. And then he gets hit with, like, one needle. And then looks down, and then he goes, and a bunch of other ones fall into it and he just fucking blows up. And I'm like, oh, that was cool.
But
I was
that is cool.
And that's where like the show is so like whiplashy. It's like there are like little details like that that they use, and it's like, okay, like yeah, you seem to get Halo, and then you don't hear the battle rifle sound. I was like, well, I guess you don't get Halo. I don't fucking
know.
So, to give the show some props, like my biggest concern was really if the action scenes were going to be good or not, and I thought they were okay. Like I think the CGI needs a lot of work. Like the Spartans look way too floaty. And when they're not in combat, they look fantastic. But when they're in combat, it just like feels really off and too CGI, I guess. But in general, like they use a lot of practical effects. Like the battle scenes actually look really good, especially like in episode 5 when like the Covenant really put on an assault. Like you can feel the scale of Halo in there, like the combat scenes. But that's why I was really hoping like they were going to go out with the Fall of Reach for the final episode. And like that didn't happen. I was like, ah, well. You know, you really could have won me over if you did that, but I guess that's a season 2 thing with a bigger budget or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. It's also funny. A couple of people in chat were mentioning like, oh, so is this like a military drama? And I'm like, I don't know if I had to put this show in a single genre. Like, it's not hard, interesting sci-fi like The Expanse is. It's not like a well-written character drama. Like, there's some military stuff, but that's not the thrust of it. Like, it's not really a mystery box show because the answers you get aren't super satisfying. So I'm not sure like what it is.
Yeah.
I think it feels like Xeno Warrior Princess. It's whatever genre Xeno Warrior Princess was.
I thought it was a bit of a character study on Chief, really. I thought the first season was really just focused on John as a character and not really Master Chief or anybody else yet.
You keep saying because it's not different. What's going on with this? I was on my own the entire time.
I think the show is treating them as two distinct characters. That's how I felt from it.
But like the story isn't like an origin for him, right? Like he's already established. And are they doing flashbacks?
That's the part that really, really threw me off was like because it almost was like they were trying to make it an origin for him. But he's like. And that's where like all the book and game stuff like was getting into my head, and I was getting real like kind of annoyed. It was like, wait, he is already a legendary soldier amongst the UNSC. Like he's already the Master Chief. And then the show is almost acting like they're having first contact with the Covenant. It made no sense. Cause there's a lot of fixing they need to do for season 2. Like it's almost like they need to reboot the show already before they get to the ring.
Man, I'd really like to see someone's take on this who has never played a Halo anything, to see like if maybe they're a lot less frustrated by like the changes and the differences.
I'm sure they would be.
And even in that case, if they actually like it because of that.
No, I definitely think, in a weird way, I think the more you are a Halo fan, the less you might like this. I think I give the season more passes than Nick did. Because the changes don't bother me because I don't know their changes because I don't know Halo that well. But I also don't hold like the Halo story in like incredibly high regard. I just don't think it's a very good story. Whereas like if they, I don't know, if there was like a fucking Zelda show or something, I would probably be like the first one wanting to burn down the creators. No, I'm not going to burn down anyone's house over the show. No, but you know what I mean? Like I'd be the first one being like, you could have just done this game and it would have been fine.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and you know, we're doing a podcast, so like I'm voicing my criticism. Like I said, though, I didn't hate the show. Like I would give it like if I had to give it out of 10, I'd probably give it like a 5 or a 6. It was watchable for me. Like I wanted to see it continue week to week. I'm still interested in what they're doing for season 2, but it's not like a show I'm holding in very high regard. It's if it's on, it's on kind of thing.
Yeah,
not like Better Call Saul, where I'm like I need that today. I need to watch that right this second.
Better Call John. I don't know. So that'll be interesting going forward. Like I said, I don't think season 2 will be coming until at the very least a year from now. And so it'll be interesting to see if they take sort of the lessons learned from this season and are able to make a pivot, because I do see a road where they can fix some of this stuff and shore up some of the weak points and make a season of TV that's really cool. But if it just continues along this trajectory, you do get to a certain point. You're like, why are any of us doing this? Like, why are they making this? And why are we watching this? What's going on here?
Like Microsoft, you allowed this to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting because it's also, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a different division, but it's also like, I feel like in another world, Microsoft, if this show were incredible, people would be pointing to this in order to excuse Xbox's very slow 2022. Like people would be able to be like, well, yeah, Starfield and Redfall got delayed and the Halo game is not getting updates at the cadence we want, but we got this incredible show. Whereas now that feels like the Halo show kind of just folds into the entire, like, what's going on? Is everything all right in Phil Spencer land right now?
And
everything's going to be fine, but yeah.
And I didn't really engage with social media discussion over the show or anything just because, like, people had already decided they were going to hate it before it was even out. So, like, I don't know. I just, if you're interested in it, like, watch it. You're not losing anything by watching it, you know, I guess your time, but.
Yeah. I don't know if I could recommend a Paramount Plus subscription to anyone. So if you can get a free Paramount Plus subscription.
Somebody did ask, like, what else is on Paramount Plus? 1883 is on
Great
there.
Great question.
Which I thought was really good. I've been watching
that. That is true. The Tyler Sheridan versus on there.
Yeah, he's making like 8 shows for them.
He's got Harrison Ford. They pulled that old man out of cryogenic freezing.
He's got
a show with Helen Mirren.
Yeah, he's got 1883. Tyler Sheridan also made the Mayor of Kingstown show, which is on Paramount Plus, which is quite good. They have Halo. What was the other one I watched?
There's some South Park movies on there.
There's Evil, which I haven't watched yet, but I've heard is really good.
The new Rugrats is on there.
SpongeBob movies.
All the Star Treks.
All the Star Treks.
Upper Decks, Lower Decks, Mid Decks.
This I've been watching quite a bit on Paramount Plus. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, I have not. I don't think I will.
I've been watching
that app anytime soon.
More on that than Epix.
More on that than Epix. Yeah, it's above Epix, below Apple. Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is on Paramount Plus. I watched the Jackass movies on Paramount Plus.
I did just watch the new Jackass movie the other night, and that was disgusting. I did not think they would start the movie with him dressing his cock as a Godzilla, but that's what they did.
They did
a very up close shots of his cock.
It wasn't like Toho's Godzilla. It was a kaiju. It wasn't.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
It wasn't part of the legendary monster universe.
What is that Jackass movie rated?
I don't think there is a rating. There is a lot of penis in that movie.
Yeah, it's fine. Make it up for the lack of penis in the Halo TV show.
A lot of very close up shots of penis and balls. Yes. Very uncomfortable.
I mean, it's what the people want. That's what they pay for.
You know, I cannot imagine having watched that movie in a theater because that would be a really big screen of a giant Godzilla dick.
I mean, that would be fitting for what they were going for, right? Like, watching it on your phone.
That's probably the intended.
It's like how Christopher Nolan or Tom Cruise insists that all of his movies go straight to theater. He wants you to see Top Gun and Mission Impossible Dead Rising Part 1 or whatever the fuck it's going to be called on the biggest screen possible.
Yes. Anyways, we have like 20 minutes left, so. And Marty didn't think we would talk about Halo for half an hour, and here we are proving him wrong.
All right, so what are we going to talk about for the rest of the show, Nick?
Guys, send in super chats so we can have things to talk about that are not Halo.
Regular chats, it's fine. Venomon Killer said Paramount Plus is worth it for Sonic, classic Star Trek, in 1883.
I will find time to watch the two Sonic movies, because I've heard those are not bad.
Yeah, I like them quite a bit.
And yeah, I like when he goes fast.
Speaking of other upcoming adaptions, though, like Fallout is one I feel like they can't really mess up.
That's famous.
Yeah, that seems
words.
Really.
Don't say that. That's what are you talking about? Everyone in these films can't mess up.
But like it's you create your own character. They could put anybody in that show and
they
make
could
a
absolutely
compelling character.
I feel like how did we just have this whole conversation and you bounce back from it being like, well, Fallout, that definitely won't burn us.
You
like
need
10,000.
I honestly agree, though, that I feel like that's an easy adaptation because of the nature of that game. It's a bunch of short stories just in a setting. So as long as they can get good writing and like recreate the look of Fallout, like they should not have a problem. Like, I feel like that's an easy thing to do to please people who are into that world.
Yeah,
and honestly, that world would appeal to people who aren't even like familiar with Fallout. Like, it's just
Yeah, that one's just a, that one normal. Is literally just an IP, like a sandbox IP. Like, I think they could just, it's going to be Fallout in name with a nuclear wasteland, and then they're going to make whatever the story they want in there. And hopefully it's not him tracking down this kid.
Because
we already have the road.
How big of a Fallout fan are you?
I hated Fallout. I can't finish Fallout 4. I don't remember much of Fallout 3's story.
Okay. I've never played Fallout. Fallout 3. Okay,
love
so
the bullshit out of Fallout 3, and then that was it.
Okay, so we're combined, not the biggest and most knowledgeable Fallout.
Wait,
fans
yeah, you haven't even played those games, have you?
I just said I haven't played them. I'm not trying to. I'm saying the three of us combined, our Fallout knowledge and love is not
are
super
like
high.
Fallout amateurs, yeah.
So imagine what people who for them their relationship with Fallout is like your relationship with Halo.
Yeah.
They're gonna watch this show and they're gonna do exactly what you did, and they're gonna be mad because the mutants didn't
yes,
make
but
the
there's,
same
there's,
noise.
No, that's, no, that's
yeah, that's
no,
not how Fallout works.
Because there's background and world lore that they can create a setting from, like Casey's set. But there's not
like,
yeah, like
Fallout
there's
is
no,
more
there's
setting
no, like,
than it is through line.
Yeah, there's not like central characters or a central through line story that they have to track. It's like you could just tell a
like
really
need,
good story in a nuclear waste.
A bombed up world in a retro futuristic setting.
Yeah.
And then you need, you know, super mutants and some rad roaches. Boom. You got a Fallout.
Yeah, some cool swing music or whatever the hell.
As long as
listening on an old timey radio.
The only thing that concerns me about that show is like, and I don't think they'll do it, but like I feel like you're gonna need a lot of like really good practical effects and makeup to make that show work. Because if you over CGI, it's just not gonna feel real and lived in.
Yeah. I mean,
if they can make 30 The Walking Dead shows, they can make a watchable Fallout.
That's
the same thing.
And it is. So it's gonna be on Amazon. So it's hopefully got Bezos bucks behind it. Although maybe they spent all their Bezos bucks on Lord of the Rings. They don't have any money for Fallout. Jonathan Nolan is behind it. Christopher Nolan's brother, who's a showrunner on Westworld. And you can have a lot of show about Westworld. Westworld looks very good. So that's a plus.
If I like the story in Westworld. People are upset about Westworld?
I think people have gotten harsher on Westworld with each subsequent season. I still enjoy Westworld.
Yeah, I'm way high on Westworld.
Yeah, that's coming back that's coming back at the end of June or end of July.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Give me fucking Aaron Paul Beck. I saw a trailer for the new season of Westworld, and I was like, you know what? I don't remember any of the last season of Westworld. I remember enjoying it, but I'm seeing all this stuff, and I'm like, well, should I know who these people are? I was like, oh, yeah, Aaron Paul's in this. Forgot about that. He's like literally main character last season. I am excited that Fallout has Walton Goggins, who I think is great. Like, he's such a weird dude.
That's a good start.
Yeah, casting just the weirdest dude. I feel like that's great.
Uncle and, Baby Billy himself.
Exactly. And they also, I think they cast one of the girls from, one of the teenagers from Yellow Jackets.
There's a lot of teenagers in Yellow Jackets.
There's several. There's the whole, all of the Yellow Jackets are teenagers.
Yeah, you're
well,
very,
we got
very
one.
Specific about who they just
it is. It is the major one that does not have a future counterpart. I will say that.
A lot of them, too.
Jackie.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers. Yellow Jacket. Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's good. I don't know. That'd be cool if it was good. And then we have a shit ton of other video game adaptations on the horizon, too. Netflix has already announced, you know, there's an Assassin's Creed show in theory. There's a Splinter Cell show in theory. There's a Division thing in theory. I say in theory with all this.
So Bioshock show.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that one I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bioshock might be rough to get across because that the appeal of that is honestly in its merger of gameplay and story. Like, that's what makes Bioshock, right?
Yeah. I mean, Bioshock could have... I feel like Bioshock could have an incredible pilot and then just be, like, a complete dumpster fire of a season. Yeah. Yeah, they've announced Mass Effect, which everyone keeps saying... again, Mass Effect, I believe, at Amazon. Everyone
rumored.
Keeps...
Yeah, it's just rumored so far. They haven't confirmed it yet.
Are you sure?
I feel like that...
99% sure.
That was, like...
Because I thought the whole... apparently there was a Mass Effect TV show in 2013 that was not based on Mass Effect. What did I just click on? I don't know what I just clicked on. I don't want to go back to that website. But everyone always says, I think the rumor was that
Amazon has the rights.
Amazon has the rights to it. Everyone wants the
just more Expanse, really.
The Expanse creative team is just like, what if you guys just did this next?
Yeah,
what if
you just made, move on, move your whole crew over to this.
Yeah,
cast exactly. Everything.
Those fat BioWare bucks. We have a couple super chats. Venom on Killer with another $5 dono. Thank you so much, Venom. Said, have any of you been watching Barry? Rewatching it now so I can catch up on season 3. One of my favorite shows right now. Do you guys watch Barry? Yeah.
Yes. Watch season 1 and 2. It is great. I love that show.
Yeah.
I cannot remember the name of the actor who has alopecia. Like, he's like completely bald.
The guy who plays NoHo Hank?
Yes. NoHo Hank. Yeah. He's my absolute favorite character.
Yeah.
In that show. And like, if you see him in anything else, he's kind of the same dude, and he's completely lovable and enjoyable.
Yeah. And absolutely incredible character. And I won't spoil any of this season so far, but I think this season, it's like, it takes like a hard right, but it ultimately is just incredibly dark, and the payoff is so good, and it's still so funny, but so like, oh, none of these people are good. What is happening? And obviously it's a show about a hitman, so I mean, he's a murderer. Yes, great show, highly recommended. Bill Hader is I love it when a comedian zags and then you're like, oh, this person's like wildly talented. Like whenever Adam Sandler's rare serious movies, or like even seeing Donald Glover with Atlanta and everything. I don't know, great stuff. Hey, are you caught up on Atlanta? Did you finish Atlanta?
How many episodes are left? I watched,
it's done, 10.
Oh, it's finished. Okay, I don't know what number I'm on. The last one I saw was the Lost in Amsterdam one.
Oh, with the cameo at the end, person that he runs into at the bar.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, that was brain breaking. I love that so much.
Yeah,
I do think we missed King Dead 42 super chat earlier. Said $2 support Marty. Obi-Wan is Alec Guinness. It's okay. You only got $2 towards it.
No, literally, look at the rest of the comments around there. Everyone says,
I see nothing.
Eric Schwenke, Sir Alec is Obi-Wan. We'll just stop there.
That's fine. That's fine.
Dimitri
donated $5. Says, I feel like Castlevania rarely gets mentioned. I always hear about adaptions and CV. Castlevania never seems to be a part of the conversation. I love that show. Sad face.
No, yeah, we didn't mention it today. But yeah, I feel like
I haven't
we brought Castlevania before. It is fantastic.
Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's good.
I think it's better than good. I think it's great.
Okay.
Castlevania it should be a model to be followed. Like, yeah, everyone got really hype about Arcane and then kind of forgot that Castlevania was before it. Like, Castlevania really opened that door in my mind in terms of like, oh, this is what you should be doing with like video game property adaptations. Stop making them live action. Fucking spend those animation dollars and get something really dope.
Wasn't there, Marty, you might have snuffed me on it, but I think there's an adaptation of Disco Elysium coming, right? I thought that was announced. Yeah. Please, God, do that in like the League of Legends animation style, or like just to take the animation style, or I mean the art style of that game and turn it into a TV show. That's like one of the things that really made me want to watch League of Legends. Just the animation looks so incredible. Like, you can.
Yeah, and like the painterly look of Disco Elysium, I think could really work in animation, and especially with there would be a interesting show because so much of it would be conversations with himself, although his selves have different voices and everything. I'd be interested to see if they like try to personify those more, like not like Inside Out where like you go in his head and like, here's my anger and here's my tie and here's my things all talking to each other. A couple people have also asked, so we're getting, there's reports that we're seeing the first footage of a Final Fantasy IX cartoon or anime.
Right.
But it's like, we might be seeing the first footage this week at some anime fest or something.
That's your lie.
It's like, yeah. People are worried because they said it's going to be geared towards kids. I think it's fine, because to me, Final Fantasy IX feels kind of
That game was made for kids, wasn't it? Rated mature or nothing?
No, and it was like a little like the characters were all chibi, and the main character had like a cool tail, and like there's no like real like romance plot. Like, it's like a swashbuckling thief.
That game came out in the 90s, yes?
I believe it was either 99 or 2000. So it would have been, it was like one of the last PS1 games, one of the last big
PS1 games. We were all children then. Not like little kids, but we were all children then.
What year?
That's who that game was aimed at then.
Like 2000.
It makes sense that that story would be aimed at the same age demographic. Like, don't age it up for like a bunch of sad millennials today, please.
Yeah, and you don't, like, there's no, like, the main, like, the main dude wasn't like all fucking emo, like Cloud. Squall, even like Zidane was just like a cool monkey boy thief. He's like a little bit like Goku. He's like a little Goku with Goku and his tail.
Pretty much Goku.
Yeah, just doing Goku's all over the place. You know who's great? Goku.
Multi-D13, better member for 23 months in a row on bonus content, says, hi guys, Nick, happy you had a fun time in Iceland. I did. Casey and Marty, recommendations for our first Final Fantasy game on Switch, preferably. Speaking Sorry for random talking. Looking for a JRPG.
You've come to the wrong place.
Speaking of...
Came to the right place. Marty's right there.
Marty.
We were just talking about Final Fantasy. We're just talking about...
Yeah, but I don't know anything about the games. I just know that RPGs are for babies.
Fuck you, Yakuza Like a Dragon isn't for a baby.
What are you talking about? There's that one mission where everyone dresses up as babies.
Yeah, like literal man babies.
That was a fun scene.
You didn't see the age of these babies.
So if you want on Switch, you I can't recommend the 1 through 6 because those are not available on Switch. In the grand scheme of things, I would recommend Final Fantasy 6 is the one to start off on. I think that's the best distillation of early Final Fantasy. But if we're just going on modern games, I would say either 7 or 10. I prefer 7 over 10, but I feel like either of those would be a good gateway drug that could get you into more experimental ones like 8 or 9, and then more classic ones like, or 8 or 12, and then more classic ones like 9. So yeah, 7 or 10. That's my recommendation. Also, I can't believe you don't like Goku.
Who doesn't like Goku? Me?
Yeah. What are you talking about? You literally said you don't like Goku a little while ago.
I didn't say, I did not literally say I don't like Goku. I said Goku's all right. You said Goku's great. I was like, eh.
Marty's one of those fanboys where if you don't love it, you hate it.
I just don't know how you could not love Goku. Like, what is it about him?
Go cancel.
You just don't like
Twitter.
He's from another. He's a visitor to our planet.
he's just anime Superman. And Superman is very problematic because he's way too powerful and not interesting enough. And Goku is similar in that sense. He's a lot funnier. I'll give him that. But like his storylines are very boring. It's like, hey, let's all wait until Goku gets here to solve the problem. But like that's just every single arc is that.
I do like the full range of responses of who doesn't like Goku to I'm with Casey on this one, Goku's all right, to who's Goku? I feel like that represents all three of our opinions.
I don't have an opinion.
That's why I think your opinion is
That's the who's Goku.
Who's Goku?
Goku? What's this Goku?
Multi-D13 donates $5, says Elden Ring, Dark Souls, show or movie, animated or live action. Stories, characters, events you would like to see, we can dream, right?
I'm always going to lean towards animation over live action. I just think you can do more with that. Like, I know it's more expensive and that's usually why we don't get that. But like, if that's the choice, I'm always going to pick animation.
Just for the range of creatures and everything, and I'm going to have to be animated.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to give it a crazy $100 million budget, you know, and make really good looking creatures.
I also think of any of the FromSoft ones that if they were to adapt one, it should be either Bloodborne or Sekiro, just because those have the most like clear cut,
honestly,
stories, traditional stories, I guess.
I would totally be up for like just spitballing like an A24 adaption of Dark Souls with literally no talking from the protagonist. And it's just an adventure going through like getting to this nasty cinder boss at the end.
Well, wouldn't it have to
a wordless movie in Dark Souls, I think would be really cool and evocative.
Yeah, I mean, you could make like
you would want it to follow like the player character and not like the events before that stuff, like the stuff with like Gwyn and his kids. And
I mean,
I'd be more interested in seeing that story.
There's stuff you could do there, but I don't know if like over dramatizing that stuff would really work as well as you might think it would. Like, I think a lot of it's when it's left up to your imagination that, like, From Software does really good. So, I don't know. I just think And like, I wouldn't even, it doesn't even have to be like called Dark Souls. I just think something in like a silent character just moving, going on an adventure, moving through the world, struggling to get to like this end thing would be kind of a cool adaption.
A bunch of cool boss fights. Yeah, that probably actually worked.
Yeah, just like a visual storytelling piece. I think it was the only thing that would work for that.
Yeah, there were rumors of a Shadow of the Colossus movie as well, which that would feel like another thing that, like, I mean, who's he? Is he talking to his horse? Like a weird dude. I guess you could talk to your horse, but your horse isn't going to talk back. Yeah. The Green Knight.
Yeah, I was going to say the Green Knight had a similar ish vibe. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Or Samurai Jack. Yeah, that's a good, that's a good comparison, chat.
Lampy donates £5. Says Casey forgetting that Goku almost died from a heart virus.
I didn't forget that. What does that have to do with anything?
Do you have to like him because he almost died?
Yeah, I'm aware that man almost died. And that, get this, his rival's son from the future came back in time to give him medicine so that he wouldn't die from a heart attack. That's the plot line.
Thanks, Trunks. Trunks is great.
Oh, and by the way, for those asking what our funding goal is for Summer Game Fest, we're basically just raising up Super Chat funds because we're going to be doing a lot of streams in June as we cover and co-host a lot of the Summer Game Fest streams like we did last year, which everybody had a great time at, and I assume a lot more people will be at this year just because our community's grown so much, so hopefully you guys will tune into that. And we also
have crippling gambling addictions that we're going to use that money to pay our bookies so they don't break our thumbs, because we need our thumbs to be able to play games.
Yes.
Too much Genshin Impact currency.
Too much Genshin. We bought way too many Genshin pulls. Shit is not looking good.
Yeah, when Casey's not on stream, that's what he's doing.
Those hot.
Then he
hot
comes
gotchas.
Back on. That's when he comes back on the stream. He's like, please pay me. See him sweating over there. He's like, I gotta get back.
those pulls.
We got the Genshin sweat.
Those summons. Those summons.
All right, you wanna wrap things up here, because I know, yes. Nick, you gotta get ZPL set up. ZP today will be Salt and Sacrifice. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then post ZP obviously will be at 3 p.m. And then we'll be back tomorrow. Nick and I will be starting our Lord of the Rings journey with Lord of the Rings: The Fellowship of the Ring. So tune in the game, which is an adaptation of the book and not the movie, but it came out the same time as the movie.
It's a bad adaptation.
It is a bad adaptation. This is true. So tune in tomorrow at noon central. We'll be starting that, taking an hour long break. And then Casey and I will be back for more Metal Gear Solid 2. We just completed the tanker, which means we're on our way to the big shell. And if you know Metal Gear Solid 2, oh boy, Casey's going to love that big shell. It's top five big shells. The Ninja Turtles, the turtle armor, and Dark Souls.
Those are like medium shells.
Okay, yeah.
As far as everything
like
else, though,
average size shells.
Make sure if you're not a member, you should sign up for that, because there's a lot of stuff already. You got the new In the Frame, you got the new Snapshot episode, you get the new ZP today, you get the new Extra Punctuation tomorrow, and you get Adventure is Nigh on Saturday. So, like, if you were a member, you are eating good this week, and next week you get a new quest log, and all kinds of other good stuff. So, new anatomy as well. So, other than that, Louise Blight. Right, with the last €2 donations. Oh no, not your thumbs. Take my money.
Pound.
They're fixing you.
We need our thumbs. My thumbs are good.
Oh, that is a pound. Looks like a euro. It's too small on my screen.
Ooh, look which one of us is dumb now. It used to be me.
I got it right the last time. I don't know why I said it was a euro on that one.
Nobody does.
Sounds like less of a euro and more of a you're wrong.
Can you convert all these Icelandic kronas for me?
You brought those home?
I have to invoice them all. I have, like, literally, these are all taxi receipts. There's like 40 of them in here.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I have to take pictures of them and upload them for our financial department. I love my job as an editor-in-chief, yes.
I don't know. I mean, they paid for you to go to Iceland. That sounds nice. You got to take a big old trip to a cool country.
Eve paid for that. Anyways. So
fair enough. Are you invoicing Eve? You're invoicing your taxis to Eve?
No. To our company.
Okay, we're just gonna wrap this up. I'm just very confused, and
that's
fine.
Okay. You're
it's
always
fine.
Confused.
Nick, where can folks find you?
You can find me at my Twitter handle, just below my name, and then I will probably stream Rainbow Six Siege tonight on my personal Twitch channel, which I know Honey Money will link. Thank you, Honey Money. Hopefully you're having a good day.
Don't link it. Don't link it, Honey Money.
Link, defy link expectations, to, Honey Money.
Link Dr. Disrespect. Give them those followers. Casey, what do you got going on? You got that 3 tomorrow we were talking about?
Yeah, that's coming up tomorrow, I suppose.
Yeah, we never talked about that game, did we?
No, we didn't. But that's fine, because my review does that.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
But yeah, you can find me at SigmaGears9 on Twitch and Twitter. I will be continuing my Smash Diet and Castlevania playthroughs randomly throughout the week. So your best bet is to just follow the Twitter or my Twitch and just hit the notification thing so you see when I actually go live. I may actually pop up on Jesse's RPG Help Desk stream today to talk about like new D&D players and stuff like that. Because I'm one of those. I don't play D&D except for Adventures Nigh, which I've been having a lot of fun with. So we might get into a big conversation there. And I think that actually starts in like 15 minutes. So
nice.
Yeah, head over to Jesse's channel to watch him there too.
Heck yeah. Yeah, then all those streams and stuff we talked about, and then Saturday we'll be back. We'll be doing Evil Dead for game night.
Yes,
the Evil Dead, the game colon. I think the colon is before the game. It'd be weird if a game title just ended with a colon.
It ended in the colon.
Yeah, that's very confusing. So for Nick and Casey, this was Marty. This is Breakout episode number 42. Thank you all, as always, so much for joining us, for hanging out in the chat, for being sweet, for being members, for all the donos and everything. It means the world to us. And yeah, we'll see you all at 3 p.m. for post-CP.
Yep. Before I click stop recording, somebody corrected me on it earlier. Sam was his friend's name in the books, not Soren. So I don't even know who the fuck Soren is now. But I'm assuming Soren is a stand-in for Sam.
What?
Oh, he was calling a character Soren.
No, the show's name character is Soren. I think he's a stand-in for Master Chief's best friend in the book, Sam.
And Sam, this is why you don't read books. Just don't read books.
There's too much Halo lore. Fuck off.
I was saying that the way to win is to not read books ever. That's why we should burn books.